Today's Old Testament reading is from the book of Amos, chapter 6, verses 1 and 4 through 7. We'll be reading from the New Revised Standard Version. Alas for those who are at ease in Zion, and for those who feel secure on Mount Samaria, the notables of the first of the nations, to whom the house of Israel resorts. Alas for those who lie on beds of ivory, and lounge on their couches, and eat lambs from the flock, and calves from the stall, who sing idle songs to the sound of the harp, and like David, improvise on instruments of music, who drink wine from bowls, and anoint themselves with the finest oils, but are not grieved over the ruin of Joseph. Therefore, they shall now be the first to go into exile, and the reverie of the loungers shall pass away.
You all know the joke. It was a little better joke when I lived in Miami, Florida, but a hurricane has come, and the waters are rising, and the waters rise to the first floor of a house. And a homeowner prays to God to be saved from the flood. The police come and offer to take the person to the safety or on higher ground, but the person refuses, saying that God's going to protect them. The waters get to the second floor of the house, and the homeowner prays to God to be saved from the flood. And the Red Cross arrives by boat and offers to take this person to safety, but they refuse, saying that God will protect them. The waters get higher, and the homeowner has to climb onto the roof. And they pray to God to be saved from the flood. And a rescue marine helicopter flies overhead and sends down a basket for the person to climb into to be saved. The homeowner declines, saying that God will protect them. And the person dies. And they get to heaven and ask why God did not save them from the rising waters. And God says, I did answer. I sent the police. I sent the Red Cross. I even sent the Marines. You know, sometimes it's just hard to hear God's message. Not because of God, but because of our own baggage. And I thought about this joke as I read this morning's scripture passage, which is a very, very difficult one to hear. Not for God, but for us. Listen now for the word of God as it is found in the 16th chapter of Luke, verses 19 through 31. This is the story of Jesus and the rich man and Lazarus. There was a rich man who was dressed in purple and fine linen and feasted sumptuously every day. And at his gate lay a poor man named Lazarus, covered with sores, who longed to satisfy his hunger with what fell from the rich man's table. Even the dogs would come and lick his sores. The poor man died and was carried away by the angels to be with Abraham. And the rich man also died and was buried. In Hades, where he was being tormented, he looked up and saw Abraham from far away with Lazarus at his side. And he called out, Father Abraham, have mercy on me, for I am in agony in these flames. But Abraham said, Child, remember that during your lifetime you received your good things, and Lazarus, in like manner, evil things. But now he is comforted here, and you are in agony. Besides all this, between you and us, a great chasm has been fixed, so that those who might want to pass from here to you cannot do so, and no one can cross from there to us. The rich man said, Then, Father, I beg you to send into my father's house, for I have five brothers, that he may warn them, so that they will not also come into this place of torment." And Abraham replied, "They have Moses and the prophets. They should listen to them." And he said, "No, Father Abraham, but if someone goes to them from the dead, they will repent." And he said to them, "If they do not listen to Moses and the prophets, neither will they be convinced, even if someone rises from the dead." The word of the Lord. Thanks be. Okay. This morning's parable might be one of the most difficult ones for us to hear. And it's really hard to hear because if we're honest with ourselves, we're not Lazarus. We're the rich man. We're the person that's not named. We're that unnamed rich person who walks by the suffering each day and tries not to see them. We don't want to look at all those who are on the fringes of our society. You know, I know I've done it, so maybe you have too. Just don't make eye contact. Just like the rich man, we just don't want to get that purple robe soiled by their dust. And we don't want to have to think about them when we are comfortable, or when we're nestled on our couch at home with a blanket and a cup of tea. See, the rich man is not named, but we know his name when we're honest with ourselves, because he looks a lot like us. But the poor man, Lazarus, is named, and we know a lot about him. He's destitute. He has sores. He's so bad off that he can't even keep the dogs from licking him when he lays at their doorsteps. And Jesus makes us see Lazarus, just like the homeless person on the street corner with a sign saying he's hungry, or the veteran that says, "I do not have a home." We try and avert our eyes from them so we don't have to see them as we sit in cars at traffic lights. But Jesus forces us to look in the face of what we don't want to see. It's easier to hear about statistics of the growing poverty than to have to actually see it personally. But Jesus holds our head and makes us see it up close and personal. And I know that because when I served that church in Miami, Florida, there were homeless beggars on all the street corners. And I didn't want to see them. I made myself paint a picture of one of the homeless men who I found out was named Samuel because I needed to. You see, I don't know how many of you are artists, but if you paint something or someone, you develop a relationship with your subject because you know their lines, you know the shape of their face, and I wanted to force myself to see the humanity in this man who was living on this street, who's wrestling with mental illness, which prevented him from even going to a shelter. Samuel preferred to sleep on cardboard and to use blankets that were given to him or he found discarded. And he kept all his life possessions, which are a little odd, in a grocery cart. I drove by him every day on my work. And finally, I had to get to know him. I had to make him real in my life. And I talked to him, and I would bring groceries in bags. He loved the bags. And when I finished my painting, I gave him a copy of it because I wanted him to know that I saw him. And then I brought the painting of Samuel to my church, and I hung it in the food pantry there because I wanted the congregation to have a face for the hungry people that ministry was saving. Jesus asks us to see Lazarus. We learn that Lazarus does not want to be the rich man. Lazarus only asked for crumbs. Lazarus only asked that he would be satisfied from what fell from the rich person's table. And Jesus wants us to know that too. Jesus tells us about Lazarus that while we learn about those who feast sumptuously every day and who wear fine linens, but those who feed only at the top of the food pyramid, who are dressed by designer clothing and furs, they believe they're entitled to the luxuries they have. They've inherited their resources. They have earned them by going to great schools and making great connections and being given great high-earning jobs. And because they feel deserving, they live with no concern for those who are suffering. There's no feeling of responsibility in that rich man. And if we stop to think about it, we too are surrounded all day long with people, and we don't really think about their humanity. Imagine the amount of people we drive by on our hurry to get to the next place without even seeing them. And it should not have to take a miracle for us to repent. What we need to do is right in front of us, and we should take heed and take advantage of it. Jesus paints that picture, knowing that each of us is the rich man, and forces us to consider the poor and the impact of social policies have on others, not just us. Jesus wants us to feel and act with responsibility and not entitlement. And there is a frustration in Jesus' parable when, after the rich person ends up in hell because of their inability to tend or even see the needs of another, the rich person asks to have their family warned about the outcome of their, and they're still only thinking of themselves. And Jesus says, "You have heard the teachings of Moses. You know the words of the prophets. So even someone rising from the dead would not change them." And the parable ends with a feeling of doom. It ends, let's just say, badly for that rich man and probably for his family. It's a harsh parable. I think it's actually pretty cruel. Where's the grace? Where's the love? Where's the hope? But I don't think we're supposed to take the parable literally. Jesus used parables as teaching methods. So let's instead look at it as an allegory to our world and see what it can teach us. I believe there is great allegory in this parable that absolutely speaks to our times. We already know we're the rich man, okay? We're able to feel the connection with this person who hoards the good gifts that God has given and at the expense of others. And we feel the urgency this parable teaches us to change our ways. I mean, it really makes me feel uncomfortable. I don't know about you. Because Jesus makes us to acknowledge that we are that rich man squandering the gifts God's given us. And I don't even think that the rich man saw them as gifts. That might be the first lesson. Those things aren't to the rich man's to be just enjoyed and used. They're to be shared. They're not really his. And maybe that's the real sin. When he pleads to go back to the world, to have Lazarus go back to the world and warn his family to and better their eternal outcome, to tell his five brothers about this place of torment he's in, he requests it so that they are not going to suffer the same hell that he must. You see, even at this point, the rich man does not understand what's wrong. The problem is not the rich man and his brothers are going to hell. The problem is they don't see Lazarus. They're rich and they don't feel responsibility to others. They have family and a roof over their heads, while others are homeless and lonely. They enjoy the power and prestige that comes with the money when there are powerless living alongside them that they don't see. So what's the good news? What are we to take away from this, the rich man in our story? Well, you know, you who go to North Church as a partner church, to me the beauty of North Church is that it is the suburban church. It's our way of connecting with our brothers and sisters in our presbytery who do not have the resources that we have. Yes, as partner churches, we might be able to help the members of the church by providing a meal on Sunday after church, but that's not it. That's not what the big ministry is at North. It's not to the people of North, it's to us. You see, North Church allows us to connect with Lazarus. We can build relationships with the have less people in our society as fellow Christians, as Presbyterians, as fellow children of God. We can personally see the fringes of society and learn the root causes of poverty, of hunger, malnutrition, and homelessness. Before Bo and I started attending North regularly, I didn't understand that the mental illness and also the problem with alcoholism that brought so many of the people to homelessness at North. Unlike the rich man, whose only concern for his family and his family's eternal outcome, we can care and develop a relationship and knowledge of the people who would otherwise be hidden and invisible with us. You know, and the reason we need North is because we, like the rich men, we don't want to see what's in front of our eyes. But we must. We must hear the message and act. We, like the rich men, have Moses and the prophets to teach us. And we, as members of the Presbytery of the Western Reserve, have pledged to try and live by parables like this one and by Matthew 25. With Jesus as our great teacher, we are able to answer, "Here we are, Lord, send us." And I just want to end by saying I loved you have pictures of your church serving the meals to the people at North. And there aren't any pictures of the people at the North. But what's really neat in the pictures is every one of your members is smiling because they know they are getting something from being there. Amen.